listening to a TJFlyWave.com podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Hello, world. Coming to you just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan from the Engine Pro Studios. You can interact with us anytime via Twitter at TJ Slideways, on Facebook for TJSlideways.com, also via email, podcast@TJSlideways.com. A little bit later on in the podcast, Caleb Armstrong is going to be calling us in transit from going to the Ocala, Florida, the Bubba Raceway Park for the Arctic Cat All-Star Circuit of Champions opener. And joining us again for the second week in a row, Trevor Hollis. Trevor, how are you doing this evening?
Hello.
Hey, good to have you back. Yeah, it's good to have you back here for a second week here. And I want to thank everyone for listening on week one, getting back into the saddle of things here. And Trevor, kind of things are getting ramped up now, man, with Florida starting to crank up this weekend.
Yeah, the big topic of conversation was the 14 car back on the track at Badlands. We're going to talk about Badlands later, but at Bubba Raceway. Of course, Tony Stewart back behind the wheel, and he didn't look like he was rusty.
No, it looked pretty sharp. And one thing that was, I think, is impressive about the whole Bubba Raceway Park situation this weekend is how many race teams seem to be going down there. I mean, a lot of World of Outlaw teams that would normally, seems like, would wait for the Volusia races or maybe pick up the All-Star races right before the Outlaw shows at Volusia seem to be headed to Ocala this week.
Yeah, from what you read online, you know, listening to some of the other racing podcasts out there, everybody, it sounds like everybody is heading down there. I think they're expecting to get upwards, probably a solid 30 cars, if not maybe a few more. And it's a good mix of cars. It's Outlaws, it's All-Stars, it's a little bit of everybody. It's really good to see.
Some of the, of course, news coming into this past week, something that we talked about last week was one of the cars that's at Ocala practicing, Donnie Schatz. We were speculating over what might, with the Ford logo, when we might see that and what we might see. And Donnie, actually, we were on a conference call with him on Tuesday, and he gave us some insight. Here's a little clip from that teleconference of what Schatz had to say about the potential of a Ford engine in the 15 car.
Well, at this time, there, you know, obviously the Ford is there, and we are working with Ford developing the 410, you know, for World of Outlaws competition. There are a few hiccups in the road that we have to overcome, and Ford's well aware of those. You know, to start the season, we're going to be using the same power plants we have been using in the past. We're still continuing to work with Ron Shaver. And, you know, that's going to be the way the season starts. And as the year transpires, you know, obviously there'll be some sort of a transition to the Ford motor through the development. And you know, we're all excited about it. So we'll just have to wait and see. At this time, there just aren't any really fine details that you know, we can release. So we'll continue to build on that each week. And very soon you'll know something.
Trevor, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are it's not surprising. At first I kind of thought maybe we would see a Ford right out of the gate, but you know, listening to him, it's pretty clear that they're going to work out the kinks. Probably throw it in here a night there, and let Ford Performance work on getting that race ready engine. One of the key things, though, I think is if we talked about it last week, if there's one person, one team that can handle bringing in a brand new motor, a brand new power plant into this series, it's going to be, you know, the TSR team with Don Schatz behind the wheel. I'm sure he wouldn't agree, but he doesn't have anything to lose. He's got all the championships. He's got wins everywhere you can imagine. I wonder if maybe he's going to enjoy the opportunity to really, really break this motor in and be one of the first people to do it, and be one of the first ones since the late 90s, I believe, to run the Ford motor on a regular basis.
Yeah, Jason Johnson had one for a cup of tea, but not for very long. And And actually, I think most of the development isn't going to happen with that car. There's another car in that stable with a pretty famous guy in it who owns the whole thing. I think we'll probably see him doing more of the development than Donnie will. But it'll be an interesting story to follow. And can you imagine when it's going to be the night that we see that Ford drop in that car? You know, you walk by. It's going to be, I guarantee you, it's not going to be very publicized. You're going to walk by and all of a sudden notice the headers are a little different and stuff. Go, wait a minute. You know, they'll drop it in kind of as a surprise. I don't think there'll be a lot of fanfare once they do it. But
well, and if you're right in your presumption there that it'll be Tony doing a lot of the shaking down and testing, I think that's kind of the way he's going to run, too, is I think if he wants to run a night, he's just going to show up and run. It's not going to be a big promotional thing where he's going to say, oh, I'm going to be there in 2 weeks. I'm going to be there in 2 weeks. Nah, I think he's just going to show up and run. And it wouldn't surprise me if he just showed up one random night, put the Ford in with no notice whatsoever. Yeah. The other thing that I think is going to be really beneficial for Tony Stewart Racing is the access to the fab shops and being able to make the parts and not relying on a third party to handle all of your ordering and, okay, this part didn't work or I think we can get more out of this. He's got access to everything he needs right there at his fingertips to be able to get this done.
What's kind of funny is this engine probably is residing right now no more than about 2 hours from each of us. So it's probably in the southeast corner of Michigan right now. So something to watch throughout the season. Mentioned the Arctic Cat All-Stars open their season 3 days at Bubba Raceway Park. This weekend, earlier this week, the All-Stars putting out a press release, 17 to 18 teams following the entire tour. This is a crazy number of teams, and Trevor, it's going to be a lot of race teams putting a lot of miles in with the All-Stars this year.
Absolutely. And a lot of young drivers, names that I think you and I have a little bit different thoughts on this, and I'm sure we'll talk about, but they're not the names that you would expect. Of course, last year you had the Dale Blaney's and the Danny Holtgravers, Sheldon Haudenschild. It doesn't sound like any of those guys. Maybe here and there you might see them, especially when you run over to the Pennsylvania swing of things, but some of the names that looking at the list of drivers that are going to run, I've not even heard of. I know there's, you know, John Hunter Mackeson and Bradley Howard, Dane Lorenc. It's surprising. And your thoughts on it?
I'm guessing that you're missing the sexy name there. You just want to, you know, part of it is you usually look at this and go, okay, who's going to draw me in, right? That's probably my thoughts are this, you know, I wrote about this in the Tuesday Notebook column. Make sure to go and read it. But it's
I did today.
Yeah, you did. And all of you listening should, too. Basically, that look, we've been through a lot of these transitions where we've seen a lot of stars. This one's a little more dramatic than most. I mean, you're losing a Dale Blaney full time. That's has been the dominating force in the series for about a decade. And you're losing that. I admit it. You're losing a Danny Holtgraver who's been a solid competitor on that tour for a while. You're losing probably your brightest young star in Sheldon Haudenschild moving up to the World of Outlaws. But eventually, okay, you have a group of 17 kids in here, you know, different drivers, some veterans, some kids in this thing, 11 Rookie of the Year candidates in this. Someone's going to emerge from that and going to get better. It might take the whole year. Someone is going to get better out of doing this. Someone's going to go to Pennsylvania, get beat up every time they go through there, but eventually it's going to come back somewhere and get faster. And I think we're going to end up with I'm guessing 2 to 3 stars out of this group that are going to carry the series for years to come.
Out of the young drivers or?
And of the young drivers, I think. You know, there are the established guys, you know, Kavanaugh, Craig Kinzer, not worried about them. They're going to be fine. There's a few teams out there that I wonder about their budget making it through the tour, especially with all the trips to the central Pennsylvania. That's going to be brutal. I mean, the amount of time they're spending in the Pennsylvania area, but I think for those that see it through and can weather the storm, it's going to make them a lot better race car drivers. And I'm kind of anxious to see what the All-Stars look like, especially when they get back to the area in the spring and what they look like by the time we get to Eldora in October.
What do you think of the news that came out today kind of about Rick Ferkel helping TJ Michael? Do you think that will make a difference to make him a contender for the All-Star Championship?
Ferkel makes a lot of guys, it seems like, fast right off the bat. For a young guy, he's great with young drivers. I mean, he really does. You can ask Christopher Bell about that. He worked with Bell quite a bit early on in his career. he's one of those guys that will make you fast. He will help that race team. It's one of those things, though, when you're a young driver, it's how much input and how you gel. There's always not even the young drivers, but how you gel and stuff. But how much are the younger drivers, when you bring on someone like a Furkel King, to listen and soak in that information? For Michael, because of his racing pedigree background, with the relations he has, he's related to the Bobby Clark family and whatnot, I think he'll absorb okay. The kid started showing some speed last year. I think he's going to be fine. I just hope they have, again, it's one of those teams where I hope they have the depth to be able to really go get after it in what normally is the tougher year. The rookie year, you kind of get through it, but that second year, it's like you hit that, try to avoid that sophomore slump.
Yeah. Yep.
So, also news today that a track that we thought might be sitting idle this year, Badlands Motor Speedway in Brandon, South Dakota. They are going to have a 5-race schedule, 3 sprint car races, including one where the opener with 410s and 305s, it's going to be paid in silver bars, just like they did last year. Unique promotion there. And then they're also going to run their 2-day World of Outlaws show, which is a huge... got to be a huge relief to the Outlaw teams and stuff, because having July 1st and 2nd open could have left a big hole in the schedule.
Yeah, looking at the Badlands schedule, I know that there's been some talk reading about Badlands, about the people that are running it, but hey, they're out there giving it a shot. They put the World of Outlaws on there. You can't say that they're not going for star power with the events that they have on their schedule.
Yeah, and plus, when you're trying to sell a racetrack that's operational is much more attractive than one that's doing nothing but growing weeds. So, I mean, this is, to me, this is kind of a litmus to try to get someone to entice to buy it. Will they get their asking price? Who knows? Everything's negotiable in this world, but they did put a lot of improvements in there. It's good for that racing scene, and Park Jefferson Speedway actually stepped up quite a bit. They took on the 360s and the 305s in the area, kept the IMCA receiver division, which had been growing out there, going, which is good. And that's good for that local scene, but that's a sprint car place. I mean, that is the weekly sprint car track in that area. And it's good that at least there's going to be some events there. It's going to keep interest in the area. And, as we know, that's half the battle sometimes, Trevor, and sometimes these racetracks are on the fence.
Oh, yeah. Anytime a track stays open, I think that's a win. And it's absolutely a win for the fans. I wouldn't call that area a hotbed of sprint car racing, but this gives them a place to go. And it's definitely going to put them on the map with the quality of cars that I'm sure they're going to get for all of their shows.
Yeah, it's a deceivingly actually good sprint car area. It's really strange because they have NOSA, they have North Dakota, River Cities and some other places. And it's a little bit, when they're running the same night as Knoxville, I never understood what the fuss was all about. They're 5 hours apart. I mean, that's more than enough distance, but out there, they're just used to being on their own out there in Knoxville and never have had to really deal in the past couple of decades with, sprint car tracks on top of each other. So, but it's a good thing for those local teams, a lot of teams based in the area that are happy to see at least some racing at the Badlands Motor Speedway. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to talk to Caleb Armstrong. We're going to talk to him about the All-Star Circuit of Champions Little 500 effort and his very busy Memorial Day weekend, coming off his injury with his leg from last year, and just some general how he balances the racing and his actual family business. So we'll come back in just a moment. You're listening to the TJSlideways.com podcast. Hi, everybody. TJ Buffenbarger here. I want to take a moment to thank everyone for reading TJSlideways.com for the past 21 racing seasons. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. We also have some fine sponsors that make the website and the podcast possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Ashwegen Speedway, and Slade Shock Technology. Without those people, there's no way we could do things at the level that we want to do them at. No matter what race we go to, this podcast, it makes it all possible for you. So if you have a moment, please click on their banners and support one of our fine sponsors. Now, for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast. en route to Florida Speed Weeks for full All-Stars Tour 2.0 for this young driver, Caleb Armstrong, joining us on the line. And Caleb, thanks for taking time out of your drive to Florida to talk with us.
Oh, yes. No problem, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And first of all, full disclosure, we're taping this as you're on your way down to Florida, and you're somewhere in the middle of Kentucky. How anxious are you to get going with this season?
I'm really anxious to get going. I think we'll expect good things out of this year. I mean, last year we kind of got to a slow start there with these new Beast race cars, and I got hurt there pretty early in the year, and I sat out for 2.5 months, and that kind of really set us back. But I feel like once I got back in the race car, just you started building momentum back up. So I feel like we're good this year, and I'm real hungry for some All-Star wins. So hopefully we can just run up front with these fast guys.
That leads me right into my next question. You did get injured partway through the season around June, I believe, on the All-Star Tour. How is your leg and your ankle doing, and how's everything going with that?
It was actually been really good, the whole program going through. Just even when I broke it, I feel like I didn't even broke it. Everything was fine. And then it's just like, you have a fracture or whatever. But then, just the whole surgery is probably the worst pain I felt out of the whole ordeal. But and then once I got through the surgery and stuff like that, and I finally got back in the race car, and the first weekend was probably the roughest point, just getting the feeling back and the movement back. But after that, it was pretty easy, and just getting back going in my rhythm. That was probably the most hardest part, because it's just when you're sitting out and you're kind of, on the couch watching TV and stuff, you try to get your physical and mobility back, but it's kind of hard and you're hopping around on one leg. But it's pretty much just one weekend. It was after that, I felt like I was back where I was.
And you mentioned the first weekend was the most difficult, getting back into the car. How long do you think it took you to kind of get back in the rhythm of it once you did get back in the car last year?
It took probably about, I'd say it's 3 weeks. So about 3 weekends there, it just trying to get you're getting your hands down, the movement like that, the throttle control, I feel like I didn't have that much of a problem with just my movement, my foot. It was just the conditioning of the race cars and the speed and everything, because with these mean cars, everything just so much more critical, and that little input you put into the wheel, just the outcome is just so much more drastic than anything you ever drive. So it took me probably about 3 weekends, I would say, and I feel like I was starting to get to the point where I left off at, and I feel like at the end we started to come on a little better. So we got to go out to PA for a couple of races there at the end, and I feel like we did pretty good out there. And those guys ain't no joke out there, so I feel like we started to come on at the end.
Now you've had a whole off season. What's different about your program going into this season?
It's really not too much different, just we're kind of doing the same thing. We're actually just going to go off where we left off last year. We still got these Beast race cars, and I think there's a lot of potentials in them. And our shock package, I feel like it's really good. And you surround yourself with good people like Kevin Biesacker and just Bob East and Dave Reedy. And they do so much for me, and I feel like we're expecting good things out of this year.
Now, you are running the entire All-Star Circuit of Champions Tour. You're going to have a lot of company this year. The press release saying 17 to 18 teams signed up to do the tour. How do you think that's going to change things with that many full-time teams chasing the All-Star Championship?
It's going to change a lot of things. I couldn't believe it when they finally said that they're going to have 17 people falling. And it's just ridiculous, I think, the amount of cars and talent they're going to have at these races this year. It's definitely going to make trying to get an All-Star and win really tough this year. And just Tony's really built that deal, and they did a really good job of getting it back to where it used to be. And it's definitely going to be some hard competition this year. But, I mean, just to go out and just probably win a night, you're just going to have to put a whole night together. It'll be tough for sure.
For somebody that's relatively new to wing sprint car racing, you're still about 3 seasons into it. There are a lot of teams, but does it make you feel better that you have good company? I mean, there's a lot of new faces there.
Oh, yeah. There's you got good company there, and you get to talk to good guys that have drove wing cars before. And it was a really tough task when I first put the wings on. I just struggled a lot. I feel like it took me just a couple of years to get going right in the right direction. Because that first year was really rough, and I just felt like I'd never been in a race car before. And it was just totally different, but I feel like we'll have good things to come this year, and I feel like we're on the right track and going the right way.
I was talking to Kevin earlier today, and we were talking about Memorial Day weekend, and your weekend is going to be insane because it's talking to him, and you're still going to do your effort for the Little 500. The All-Stars right now are off on that Saturday, but there are races surrounding both sides of it. What is it like to get that done logistically?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough week this week for sure for Little 500, and heck, the weekend before, we got some All-Star races way up north, so it's going to be tough. It's the Wilson brothers, they call it the Hell Week, and that's pretty much what it's going to be for us. But I think we're just going to try just run smart races and try to execute everything real well. Just hopefully we qualify good so we don't have to go there on bump day and stuff like that. And we got like a race at Attica on that Friday, and we got a race Little 500 Saturday, and we go to Wayne County on Sunday or whatever. But I feel like we got really good speed at Little 500, and last year I feel like I just kind of let one get away, but I feel like we'll take the momentum we had over there from last year. I feel like we've had a fast bullet for the past 2 years over there. Let's keep on carrying on the momentum we have through the whole week over there, and hopefully it turns out pretty good for us.
We've been focusing a lot of the wing sprint car, but one more question about that. You have about as many laps as anybody around Anderson between canning cars, midgets, pavement sprint cars, and everything, but you haven't won the Little 500 yet. What would it mean to you if you were able to win that race?
Oh, that'd mean a lot to me just because that's my home track, and I've raced pretty much I got a race, like Kenny Midges, like you said. I got a race Bandoleros around there. I pretty much raced pretty much almost anything you think of around there. And it's a cool place. And Rick Dawson's a really good owner, and he does a lot for that race and everything. And I just think thankful for Randy Neal for putting that whole deal together for me and letting me run that Little 500. And I never got the opportunity to run that race because we're always running the midgets at Lucas Oil Raceway. And I went there 3 years ago for the first time, and I was like, I looked at the stands, like, man, this event is just crazy. And you could go 500 laps in a sprint car, making pit stops. It's just, the whole race is just complete chaos, and it's just fun. It's just starting three wide, and it's a pretty big deal. And just to pull off a win there would be awesome for me. It means so much to me, to my family. And to everyone in Newcastle, it'd be pretty cool to bring that back home for them.
You're very successful in the midgets, very successful in Kenyan midgets. Everything you did in USAC and non-wing racing is pretty good. How difficult was it to go to the wing sprint car and, as you say, struggle that first year when I've seen you enough that it seemed like everything else came pretty naturally and quickly for you?
Yeah, I feel like when I did, like, the non-wing sprint deal and the midget deal, I mean, I wish I had more sets than what I had, but it just came a little easier, and I jumped the wing car. I was like, this won't be that big of a difference, and I remember my first time at Wayne County, it was an all-star race, and I was like, I went out for qualifying, I was like, I'll be fine, and I went down there. I just turned the car like I would a non-wing car, and I ended up hitting a marker tire, but it was totally different. I just really struggled, and I was like, man, maybe I just can't, I was like, it made me think that I couldn't do it, but just after just working that summer on it, just trying to get my movements down and stuff, I feel like I started to pick up along, but it took about a good year just to even get on the right track of just being, like, remotely, like, good enough to, like, be on the racetrack and just try to get some speed, but I feel like I came a long ways from when I first started doing stuff, but we still got a lot of speed to pick up, and heck, everyone just keeps on getting faster and faster, so we just got to keep up with the guys, and I think we can this year.
One thing that people might not realize about you is you still kind of work in the family business too during the day. How hard is it to juggle the racing and the farm business, especially during harvest time and planting seasons?
It's actually really tough because I'm out here racing with guys. They do this for a living, and this is all they do. And like when we're in the springtime, it just I go from, like, racing on the weekend, if they let me get away. But like, since I got to do the All-Star deal full time, I have to go. But I'll be able to go racing on the weekends. I come home and hop back on the planter or the combine or whatever, and just got to get in the ground, get it harvested or whatever. But springtime and harvest time it's really tough for me. Just you're trying to concentrate on racing, but you're trying to be successful at farming too, because that's what puts food on the table and stuff like that. It's just really tough task for me sometimes, but that's why it's summer so much better for me, because I got more time to think about stuff. But I feel like I don't handle it too bad, but sometimes it gets a little too crazy and you get lack of sleep and stuff like that. But I got Kevin. He helps out tremendously in the shop and stuff, so he gives me fast race cars and he does most of the work in that time. But it's still a big struggle, but it's just part of it.
If I heard a story right from last year, didn't you put on the front row or win the pole for the little 500 and then went and harvested that and are planted that night?
Yeah. Actually, I went there that morning. So we went there and turned some practice laps, and then we went and qualified or whatever. And we got the pole, and then I had to go back out and go plant some beans. That's just the stuff you got to do, just get stuff done.
So, hardworking kid here, Caleb Armstrong. Well, Caleb, I hope you have a great season. Look forward to seeing you on the All-Star Tour. I bet you have some people to thank as well.
Oh, yeah, I just got to thank sponsors, just Bigger Crop Insurance, Randy Neal for the stuff he does for me. I got to thank my dad, Neil Armstrong, and Kevin Biesecker and Rick Biesecker for all the stuff they do for us, and Eddie from All-Star Performance. They do tremendous stuff for us, and it's what makes the program run. So you got to thank those guys a lot.
Okay, well, best of luck. Have a safe trip down to Florida, and we'll look forward to seeing you later this year.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the TJSideways.com podcast. I'd like to thank Caleb Armstrong for joining us on his way to Florida, and also Trevor Hollis for co-hosting again this week. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast via iTunes and Stitcher, and coming soon to the Google Play Store. Of course, you can interact with us anytime on social media via Twitter at TJSideways, on Facebook for TJSideways.com, also via email podcast@TJSideways.com. Thank you again for listening, and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Sideways podcast.